Last week, a friend of mine who's a priest in a London parish wrote the following blog. Oh no, I made a double booking. Heart sank. What do I do? Some middle-class friends, all in standard-issue English summer kit, were driving down from Putney for me to baptize their new son, the wonderful Arthur Montgomery. The bubbly and egg sandwiches were all ready on trestle tables in the garden. The day was perfect and sunny, but the church wasn't free. I'd forgotten I'd given permission for a neighbor of mine, an Ethiopian pastor, to run a whole day long prayer service for his community. They had set up the PA, got the banners printed. The church was full now of a few hundred Ethiopian evangelical Christians singing enthusiastically prayers, hands aloft, faces semi-ecstatic, and not a Bowden dress among them. There's only one thing to do. We're going to have to share the space. When my Putney friends arrived, I apologized for that and broke the news that their private little gathering wasn't going to be so private as they had expected. So we got around the font. The Ethiopians began to sing a chorus for little Arthur. Unusual sounds filled the air. The Ethiopian kids and the Putney kids nervously edged towards each other. We used holy water from the River Jordan. We all prayed for peace in the Middle East. To my relief, it was all okay. In fact, it was better than okay. Something connected the whole group across this enormous ethnic and cultural divide. Something in my more religious moments I would want to call being part of the body of Christ. Baptism, after all, is about being reborn into a new, wider family, which is why Jesus is not really at all interested in our narrow nuclear family, and in fact was quite dismissive of it often. Best baptism we've ever been to, the Putney crowd declared. I thought about that blog because of all that's happened in St. Louis over the last week, and because every single one of the readings today has something to say about what we call nowadays inclusiveness. About, just as my friend said, being reborn into a new, wider family. These readings that we've listened to begin by making it clear that being inclusive wasn't new to Judaism with Jesus. In that first reading we listened to from Isaiah, written 600 years before the time of Christ, we hear God say that justice should reign. And the foreigners who love the name of the Lord, these I will bring to the holy mountain and make them joyful in my house, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. That theme of inclusion continues with the psalm when it says, "Let your ways be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations." Paul echoes this in his letter to the Romans. God's purpose is to be merciful to all. And then finally, we hear the gospel. A wonderful story about Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman, a woman who's a Gentile, a goy, an outsider to the covenant. It's a story that perhaps is difficult, confusing to hear, but not that difficult when you look closely at it. Jesus is taking a bit of R&R away from the crowds. And we're told that this Canaanite comes from that area to see him and starts shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by the devil." Now, important to note, The Canaanites were the original inhabitants of the land, sort of like Native Americans were to European settlers in North America. In the eyes of the people of Israel, they were not considered real people. They were outsiders, foreigners to their own land, unclean, a little bit more than, as it says, dogs. In this context, Jesus' exchange takes place, and it kind of sounds like a harsh, unkind exchange. At first, he refuses to answer the woman at all. When he does respond, he tells her that he's sent only for the lost sheep of Israel. But the woman persists in her request for help. Still, Jesus is steadfast. It's not fair to take children's food and throw it to dogs. Note, Greek grammar in this passage indicates that what we're seeing is a battle of wits, and that the word dog actually might be better translated puppies. So the woman engages in this battle of wits. She takes Jesus on and smartly replies that even puppies get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table, which is perhaps the thing that finally changes Jesus' mind. He concludes this exchange by commending the woman and her faith, and he heals the daughter. All of these readings, they all have a clear and consistent theme. God's not willing to be held to the social, ethnic, and racial boundaries that we human beings have so readily placed upon our world. In the person of Jesus, God is working to overcome such boundaries, to break down the walls of hatred and suspicion which infect our hearts, as the prayer says, that ensnare and divide us from one another. In the person of Jesus, we see that it is God's will, God's desire, God's passion to overcome every barrier, every division. What more appropriate message could we find in our lectionary than this one, after we've witnessed the death of Michael Brown and all the events that have followed that tragedy? What a perfect sermon illustration. Where else could we find such a connection with what has happened over the last past week, when we have seen the legacy of racism made tangible, made real in our streets, in the halls of power, in the local, in the worldwide media? What more appropriate message to reflect upon during a week when the divisions of race and wealth, of power and fear, have been made so clear to us in our city and our region? Here, by the luck of the lectionary draw, we are given passages of Scripture that challenge our Christian convictions and force us to ponder what our mission is in the world. On page 855 of our Book of Common Prayer, the Church proclaims that the Episcopal Church's mission is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. If we here at Emmanuel are indeed bold in mission, we are called to actively engage in this ministry of reconciliation, and particularly racial reconciliation, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our communities. Right here in Webster Groves, right here in St. Louis, right here in the United States. For in our baptisms, our mission is made known. God has reached out to the world and done away with everything that we humans have managed to create that separates us from each other. In Christ, God has begun that new creation that my friend talked about, a world where there are no divisions, a life where all people, Michael Brown and Darren Wilson, and indeed all of creation, stands equally before the God who made us and loves us and calls us to love one another. That's God's will. That's God's desire. That's God's passion, that we overcome every division, every barrier. That's the mission of the church. That's our job. That's our ministry. That's what we're all about, every waking hour of our lives. Amen.